Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know it's more than a feeling. Jesus said it in his word, you cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything, he'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am here another week by God's grace, and I'm thankful that you are able to join me and listen in. It is the month of February, and as soon as New Year's was over, we all saw the department stores being flooded with the red Valentines and all the cards and all those things. But what is real love? Through the month of February, we will be focusing on those things: marriage, relationships, dating, being single, the whole atmosphere, the real atmosphere of what love is and how God wants us to be able to enjoy love and share love with one another in a way that is going to be mutually beneficial and God-honoring. I have Antonio Neal with us tonight. He is happy to be called husband and father. He's also written and produced over 100 commercially released songs for artists, some who you know. There's been music featured in The Diary of a Mad Black Woman and Point of Grace, to the legendary sounds of the Mighty Clouds of Joy, not to mention my pal Kendall Triplett, who's also a really great guy and has a great sound. Tonight, Antonio will share about some of the highs and lows from his marriage with his wife, Shay, who will also join us later, and the journey that gives us perspective. And even if you have quite a different story than theirs, I guarantee you, you will come away with a new outlook, inspired to really focus and refocus. So thank you, Antonio, for joining us tonight.
Hey, Jackie, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. As I mentioned in the open, you're happily married, you're a father of three, and your wife, you and your wife, Shay, have been married for almost 21 years. And you're fairly young, and so that would mean that you got married fairly young yourself. Why did you decide to marry so young? Tell us how old you were and what were the circumstances that led to you deciding that you wanted to get married at an early age.
Yes, we were 19 when we got married. This August we'll celebrate 22 years. We got married because my wife forced me to. She put me into forced labor. And so that was how she gets some free labor out of me. So she flashed her pretty brown almond eyes, and then it was history. Uh-huh. I was her slave. I was her slave
really?
Forever.
You know, yeah. She's going to be joining us in a little bit. I will ask her if that's the way it went down. I'm not sure if that's
you how need to ask her. Yeah. She needed some free slave labor, and she just whipped those eyes on me, and I'm just like, wow, okay. What do you want me to do? I'm yours forever.
Quite lovely. She, your wife, is very lovely indeed. So, how long did you guys date?
We met when we were probably 15, 16 years old.
Okay.
And I would say 15 to 16, 16 or so, until we got married, was 19. So, we've probably been in each other's lives for about 2.5, 3 years. Dating, high school, I guess you can call it that. We lived in Houston, Texas, in such a big city. So mm-hmm. I only really got to see her at church on Sunday. We were dating big time. But I used to take a bus. It used to take me 2 hours to get to her house. So 2.5 years or so, we hung out and tried to spend as much time as we could, being two broke teenagers. And we found a way to make time and hang out. But really, we got married because I just thought that she was my wife. I mean, that's really all I can say. I remember I hadn't seen her for a while. I forgot what happened. Our transportation to the church messed up with my parents, and I hadn't seen Shay for so long. And I remember when I came back to church and she happened to be there, and she was walking away from the church to her, her apartment. She had this white outfit. I'll never forget it. And I just looked at her when we were leaving. I was like, that's my wife. I didn't want her to leave. And I knew from that day it was just something. When I watched her walk away from the church, because she didn't live very far from there, I was like, that's my wife.
Okay.
And I didn't know anything, but I was just a dumb kid riding home in my parents' conversion van, just kind of saw her walking in the field after service, and like, man, for some reason today I don't want to leave her. And that's how it kind of started.
Well, you know, you're actually reminding me of a day and a time that our young people don't get, because they're so connected through social media and they're FaceTiming. And, you know, there was that, because I'm really interested in you, I'm going to travel 2 hours on the train or whatever to get to see you. That kind of thing doesn't really exist anymore. And there is something quite precious about that in those moments, and the reality of how much dating could you be doing when you're still, you know, living at home and with mom and have to, you know, commute hours and hours to see someone. But you had that real commitment there, and that was quite a long time to be dating. So now,
I don't know if you call it the real word dating. I don't know if it could be called it. You know, I don't know what you call it. I mean, like, date. Some people date or court to get married. We were just two kids in the 10th and 11th grade who dug each other from, went to the same church. So I don't think we were thinking too much other than just being kids, you know, at that time.
Okay. And you mentioned going to the same church. Tell us a little bit about your family and your background. You know, were your parents also believers, her parents? Had you made a commitment at this time to the Lord?
I didn't have no serious commitment to the Lord. I was religious. I mean, I went to church when my parents made me go. Had great parents, and mom and dad loved Jesus and stuff like that. But, I was a kid who grew up in church. But knowing Christ, I don't think so. I was too interested in girls and playing ball and doing things. And so even if I knew Christ in the sense of knowing him, I wasn't a committed teenager. I wasn't a committed teenager to Christ. No.
Well,
but I was religious. I knew scriptures and I knew other stuff because I was just in that environment. But really having a strong, strong relationship with Christ as an early teen, I didn't.
Okay. Well, I think you sound like a pretty normal teenage boy, actually. You know, ball and girls, that's pretty. I have a son myself who's 19, and that's pretty much where he's at, other than college and studying. So I understand that. But now your relationship took a turn during a point that the two of you were actually not near each other. And I want you to kind of explain what happened to you and then how it progressed.
Well, I think for us it was, you know, we both knew that we needed Jesus in our life, but we weren't at that point, you know, really pursuing him. And one summer, my dad decided to move back to Illinois from Houston, and so I had I was my freshman year in college, I believe, and so he told me that they were going to move back to Illinois, and the family was moving back. So I'm just like, oh my gosh! I mean, you know, from Houston to where I'm from, you know, north of St. Louis, it's like, oh, my goodness, you know, my girl, you know. And so I remember, you know, him saying, hey, we're going to take the first trip home and take the stuff back, and, you know, you can ride back with me. And I remember just going up there that weekend when we were moving back and just going to a church service at my uncle and aunt's church and just hearing the gospel. They had some revival going on. A guest preacher was there. And I just remember, you know, really hearing what he had to say and really pierced my heart. And it was like, man, you know, Jesus, I've been around you all this time, but I haven't really made a commitment to you. So anyway, make a long story short, made that commitment to God, made a strong commitment to follow Christ and to walk it out. And so went back home to Houston to break up with a girl, tell her that, hey, I'm sorry, I love you, but, you know, I'm following Christ now. And we're not going to be able to do the things we do and live the way we live and hang out as normal carnal boyfriend and girlfriend, knowing him. And so I came to break up with her, and she was waiting on me because she accepted Christ the same weekend that I did. And so we actually were running into a situation where we were going to break up with each other. But once we found out, after the surprise wore off, I was like, what? Because we hadn't talked. And to know that we both came to the Lord the same weekend was crazy. And it went from breaking up to, okay, if we're both committed to him, maybe we can walk this thing out together if we really truly want to be together. Maybe we can do this thing right. So that's how, you know, our story kind of took a turn.
There's so much in what you said there. One is I love the immediate commitment that you had towards the Lord in terms of really being real and walking this out for both of you, that you felt like, you know, we can't continue in this relationship. Now, you use the word carnal, but break it down for my listeners who may not understand the jargon. When you say carnal, what was it that were concerned about?
Premarital sex, all that stuff. I mean, we were having a physical relationship. We had a physical relationship just like regular, people who weren't following Christ. I mean, so we were in a physical relationship with each other, and we knew that, you know, based on, you know, what we believe, what the scripture taught, and that wasn't what was best for us. And so I didn't want to get my wife, you know, my girlfriend then pregnant. I didn't want that stuff to happen to us. We knew what was going on, but it wasn't even really about that. It was about Christ. It was like, you know, what we saw walked out in the scripture, what we saw taught in the scripture, we wanted to reflect that in our life, be young people that walked that out together. And so that was where that whole thing kind of shifted, and we started thinking in a different way than it was before.
I think it's really important that it shows maturity, actually, that the two of you were able to. And when I say maturity, it doesn't have to be age maturity, but a certain level of Holy Spirit maturity that was on you to realize that you couldn't meander or mess around with this and play games with it. And I bring it up because I think a lot of times in our society today, young people have so much messaging coming to them, commercials, music, and the idea of half-stepping and seeing how far you can go. You know, oftentimes in youth meetings you have, you know, young people always say, well, I know we're not supposed to have sex, but how far can we go? You know, and looking at it from that perspective instead of looking at it from the perspective of Joseph to say, how can I do this thing and sin against my God? So, you know, I definitely respect the stance that the two of you had, but now someone might flip it and say, but why go to the other extreme and say, get married right away? Why was it so important, do you believe, as young people, to actually make that commitment?
Well, we didn't get married right away. I mean, it was maybe a year or so after, we made that decision. But I'm saying the number one decision wasn't about getting married. The number one decision was about representing Christ. And whatever it took to represent him is what we were deciding to do. And we wanted to still be together, but we also understood that we needed to honor him with our relationship. And so we understood that. And so with that, eventually we said, hey, you know, we want to be together. I mean, I was a grown person. I was in college. And that's what we decided to do. But it wasn't immediately after that. I mean, my parents probably wouldn't have went for that immediately. But we made that decision to make that happen. And, you know, we're here today.
Amen. And we're going to get into exactly some of the challenges that you've gone through over the years and how you were able to make your way out with God's helping hand. But before we do that, we're actually going to play one of your tracks that I felt really spoke to me about this period of time. And it's more than that, but just what it means when you fall in love with someone and you look at them and you see so many things. In fact, you have two projects out now, so hopefully at the end of the show we can talk about the two projects and the difference between them. But a lot of times believers have a difficulty when they're looking for music to share with someone they're in love with. And I would just want to say right now that Antonio Neal has two projects out right now that really is able to provide great mood and great message and not provide anything that is lustful or going to be derogatory in any way, but really just build up your partner and build up your relationship. So if I could be.
Thank you.
If I could be with anyone in this world, it would be you. It would be you. If I could be anywhere in this world, I'd be with you. Be with you. And if I could love only one in this world, I love you. Love only you. If I had to be like anyone in this world, I'd choose you. I'd choose you. Cause only your love satisfies. You're the perfect piece that fits into my life. If I could give to anyone in this world, I'd empty myself to you, baby. And if I could choose who could hear my music, it would be for you. Only you could hear my music, baby. Cause only your love satisfies. You're the perfect piece of heaven in my life. Cause only your touch satisfies. You're the perfect piece of heaven in my life. Do 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 do. 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 Do 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 do. If I could give myself to anyone in this world, it would be you. If I could love anybody I wanted to in this world, I'd choose you, only you, only you. Cause only your love satisfies. You're the perfect piece of heaven in my life.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
That was a lovely, lovely track, If I Could Be, by Antonio Neal. And when we left off, he was sharing how he was able to marry his wife, Shay, at a very young age. And they were older teens and were committed to the Lord, and so they made the commitment to each other. And my question is, does that mean that you walked into a perfect marriage, a happy ever after? In fact, Shay, he just said you married him for slave labor. So can you set the record straight for us?
Well, I married him to get out the ghetto. So, I mean, we both went in with bad intentions. I saw him in church, and I just couldn't get my mind off of him. And so it's like I knew that I was going to be with him one day, but I didn't know it was going to be like that, you know, to where we had connected the way that we connected and wanted to get married so young. But sometimes I only went to – most of the time, okay, I'll tell the truth. I only went to church just to see him, and when he wasn't there, I didn't want to be there.
Wow. Well, no, I appreciate that honesty because I think that most young people sometimes, you know, there's that, you know, the youth groups and the United youth groups where it's like the whole tri-borough or, you know, becomes even a bigger thing. So, yeah, I've been a youth leader for quite some years. I know the deal. I know how it works. I like that you share that honesty. So here you are, you're young, you're newlywed. What did those early days look like? I mean, was it all bliss, or did you kind of realize right away that you had some things to work on?
Well, from the beginning, we were friends. I mean, we hung out with one another, so it was bumpy. It was unknown, so we had things that we were about to face that we just had no clue about. But I think that we were kind of, you know, sober with one another since we knew each other. We were familiar with one another. But we did have to understand that we got two people with different perspectives on housekeeping, on making decisions about life, on intimacy. And we weren't aware of that stuff because when we saw each other, we just going to the movies and holding hands, kissing and watching, you know, doing different things. But actually to be in a household with just the two of us and having to deal with this new person, that was a little shaky in the beginning.
Yeah, I definitely can imagine. And we were debating about the word dating earlier and whether that was really a fitting word for the two of you. But in some regards, I think it does fit over the word courting, because courting is with the intention of marriage, and you should be doing the things, you know, marriage counseling and all, reading books and doing all those things to kind of prepare yourself for marriage. But you guys were just like all the loosey, lovey-dovey stuff is the stuff that you were engaged with pretty much.
Yeah, we were just, it was just me and him. It was just, you know, just looking at each other, laughing, talking, just being silly. And I really wasn't even thinking about the future and didn't know that he was at one point, because the way that he asked me to marry him, we were in a jacuzzi, just, you know, in a pool, just swimming around and stuff. And he was just asking me these questions. Would you like this? And I said, yes. And would you like that? And he just kept saying it a few more times. And then the last question was, would you marry me? And I kind of stopped, like, what is going on? He's joking. And so, you know, playing around with him, I said, of course, yes. And then he asked me again. I'm like, okay, he's serious. And so I said, of course, yes.
So you kind of snuck it in there, Antonio. You kind of, like, gave her warm-up questions first and kind of tried to get sneak it in there. Oh,
yeah, I guess you could say, yeah, that was the Romeo and me, yes, Romeo.
It takes courage. It takes courage to ask someone to marry you. It's not a sheepish thing to do. So what actually was happening? Well, you know, what are some of the things that you began to see in each other in the relationship that were the difficult challenges?
You want to go first, babe?
You can go first.
I just think Shay hit the head on the nail. I think it was just being from different, you know, we don't have enough time probably to talk about it on this show, but just being from two different worlds, two different expectations. But I think most of it, even beyond just being from two different worlds, just being ignorant, man. I mean, just not being prepared. I think that's the number one thing. It really wasn't whether somebody was from the hood or somebody was from the suburbs or somebody was from this place or that place. I think mostly it was just not having marriage mentors and people in our life to say, hey, guys. This is what you should think about. I think we were just kind of, we were just ignorant of it. And so when you're not prepared for something, you know, marriage a lot of times and weddings and stuff, they only prepare you for the good days. They prepare you for that one big day. You know, everything's perfect and you got the dress and all the food. And they don't really, most people aren't thinking about 3 weeks after the honeymoon. Most people aren't thinking about when the dress, when she can't fit in the dress no more, you can't fit in your tux anymore, when all the gifts and the money is run out, and when now it's time for me to be myself, and now I can kind of exhale, you know what I'm saying? And I can just kind of,
so
those little things, and you start learning how to become one. You are one in the spirit world, but you're not one in how to live together. And so now you're taking two cultures, and now you're trying to squash them into one. And so that's the thing that I think we weren't prepared for.
Yeah, I concur. I got married at 23. I also have three kids. I have two girls and a boy. They're now 19, 20, and 21. But I do remember that, ignorance would have been the largest thing. I think you're hitting it right on the head with that. So what did your worst time together look like?
Well, our worst times together was just simply pride, because over time we couldn't figure out what the issues were. I mean, there was a lot of things that he expected of me and that I expected of him, but we didn't know how to communicate it most of the time. We didn't know how, and so we just kept covering it, just pushing it behind us and trying to fix it by doing other things. And those things that we kept pushing behind us kept getting bigger and bigger, to the point where we didn't know what was going on. So it was just more hurt and more pride going on. And eventually we just started just little things just start crumbling away. Little things just seemed big because of all that stuff that we had behind us that was like really putting pressure on us. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's the foxes that spoil the vines, that concept of, yeah, and we always think the little things don't matter, but they actually do. What about for you, Antonio? What were some of the things, you actually had some very strong words when we spoke in terms of what the worst days actually looked like and felt like for you.
Well, I think the times when we got to a point where we got separated, and I think to the point where we weren't together anymore, especially spiritually, and during that season where we was like, okay, we're going to get this divorce and we're going to go ahead and go our own way. And so, let's start this process off. And I think during that time where we're trying to protect the kids and trying to go through this process, and, when you're looking at, okay, you've been married 18 years, 19 years, 17 years, excuse me, and okay, now we're in this process, and here's somebody that I really want to be with. Here's somebody that I remember that day when she walked across that grass at the church, and I'm like, I want that woman to have my children. I want to give that woman my name. I want to raise a family with her. I mean, and so all those crazy emotions and stuff that you're dealing with, it's like, where do we go wrong? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we get here knowing that that was how we started in a good place? It didn't start from a bad place. And so I think that time when we was just so chaotic in a sense, we just didn't know what to do. We just didn't know what to do. And the best thing and the best answer just seemed like, let's just end it. And I think that was the worst time for me, because knowing that this isn't working, but knowing that I love this woman, I want to be in her life. And like Shay said, I love the way she answered that. I mean, and then all the things that pride and anger and bitterness and what it drives you to do, I think saying things and doing things to each other that now you look back and like, oh, my God, I can't believe, we experienced that. And so to look back and see that and know that was where we were, it's just horrible. I don't even like think about it much, because it's just – It really, really, really was a rough season.
So then let's talk about the transition out of it, because that's the crux of it. For most people who get separated, separated for 7 years before the divorce came. That's a long stretch of time, and I know people who are separated for longer than that. So clearly there's something that's stopping you from making that next step. So speak to those people who are in that in-between place right now. They're maybe still living with the person but living as separate, or maybe they're in two separate houses. What was the turning point for you?
Maybe you want to answer that?
Well, we felt like strangers at this point, and we felt like there was just no hope. We knew what we wanted because it's like there was a, for lack of a better way to describe it, it was like a cord just between the two of us that was there, and that's what was keeping us together. But for some reason in the natural, we just thought to, you know, ease that pain for the both of us, you know, separation is just the answer. And it was just horrible because you know you don't want it to happen, but you know you don't want to keep going through the pain. And so we had to get to a point where we had to, well, we came to a point after many days of saying, this we got to do something about it. We're in Christ. We know that, you know, Christ can do something about this. But, of course, even that's a journey, because when you decide to let Christ heal you and teach you how to love your spouse, you may not want to do it in the beginning. So it was, so the first step for me was forgiveness and getting rid of pride and saying to myself that if I want this to work, I got to figure out what am I doing that is making my household this way, the atmosphere in my household this way. What can I start doing that I haven't been doing? And so that's how it was for me.
Okay.
And I think for
me it was,
I remember one day coming to the house when we were separated, and, you know, I hadn't been there in a little bit, and the grass wasn't cut, and the shrubs and all that stuff wasn't cut, and everything just looked horrible on the outside of the house. And I just remember hearing a voice, and people say I'm being spooky now, but I just remember hearing a voice sitting in my truck and said, whose fault is that? I'm looking around like, talking to me? You know, hearing his voice, like, whose fault is this? I'm like, you know, mine. And I started seeing stuff in my yard, and I kept pointing out whose responsibility, mine. And right there in my driveway, I feel like I had a conversation with the Lord, and it was like, you know, about the job of a husband. And I'm like, I don't know what it means to be a husband, because nobody ever taught me what it meant to be a husband. And the Lord started showing me what it meant to be a husband. Got me in the Word. I was inspired to look up Ephesians chapter 5, and I started finding out about the job of a husband. And I'm like, God, you know, I want to be like you. It used to be something I used to say all the time. And I remember just hearing, so you really want to be like me? And when I found Ephesians chapter 5 and I saw all of what Christ was to me or to his body, to his bride, I mean, and that's what I was supposed to reflect in the earth. I was so far away from Christ. I mean, that I felt like I wasn't even a believer.
Wow.
I was so far away from Christ's husband that, I mean, so he just ended up taking me on a journey. I got inspired to repaint our home that I wasn't even living in at that time. And I felt like I just heard in my heart that as you repaint this house, as you get in this house and as you work on it and refurb it, I'm going to teach you how to be a husband. And so I went and got hundreds of dollars worth of paint supplies and paint and started working on my house. And as I worked on my house and studied the scripture and spent time with the Lord, he started teaching me how to be a husband. He started teaching me how to, you know, take care of my wife, and found out that the husband is the one that holds it all together. He's a husband, you know, just like a husbandry, like taking care of stuff. I'm the guy that's supposed to pull the weeds out. I'm the guy that's supposed to defend my family, my wife, from predators and things like that who want to come eat the fruit of our life. You know, I was never taught that by a man. No one ever really sat down and took out time to show me what a husband was, what husbandry was. And, you know, and there are some things, and I didn't know that there were things in marriage that I was just going to have to take, you know, I was going to have to take it on the chin. You know, I was just going to have to expect that there were going to be, you know, wildlife and stuff coming my way, and there were going to be things about my wife that I wasn't going to understand, but it was my job anyway to honor her, respect her, love her, to serve her, and be a man and be a leader for her and my kids. I didn't, no one has ever, like, took me through a class and taught me that. So Christ had to teach me that. And through that process, when I became aware of that, I started walking that out. But even in walking that out, I mean, it took time because I had to become not just doing it because it's academic, but doing it because it was in my heart. I needed to do it because it was love and it was the right thing to do.
You know, I never heard the word husband like that before. And a band that protects, that goes around, I really like that imagery. And even that goes into the band of the wedding ring, right? So,
right. That's what I tell people that all the time. You know, when you see that ring, when a man put that ring on his wife's finger, that's he's telling her what he's about to be for her. That's saying, I'm getting ready to cover you. I'm getting ready to protect you. I'm getting ready to surround you. That's what he's really supposed to be doing. But we do the whole ring thing, and we say, okay, now I'm legal to have sex with you. But really, what you're saying is, I pledge to surround myself with you. I pledge to put myself at danger. I pledge to put myself at risk for you. I pledge to lay myself down for you. That's what that means to me now. Not the other way.
So, Shay, I'm hearing this, and I'm seeing the movie Fireproof in my head, where Kirk Cameron is doing this full 40-day, full throttle, trying to get his wife back and not giving in. It doesn't seem like it's working. When he started to paint the house and really begin to serve you, how did you receive that? How did it take, how long did it take for you to respond to it?
Well, it took a while because in the beginning, you know, we were still separated. So the separation was like a reminder that we're at odds with one another and, you know, we're still holding grudges and, you know, there's still unforgiveness there and pride there. So I didn't receive him right off the bat. And because I saw what he was doing, but I wasn't going to let it be easy, of course, because of pride. But the Lord was dealing with me at the same time he was dealing with him in allowing myself to receive him, you know, slowly. He was just encouraging me to, you know, take your time. It doesn't have to be all at once. And so, but the thing that he dealt with me about was serving him back, doing something to show that to match what he was doing. And I did it, but I did it begrudgingly because I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to let my guards down. I didn't want to continue on in our relationship feeling like, you know, I was inadequate and feeling like this is not going to work. But I did trust Christ, and I knew that he had something down the road for us because I just felt it in my spirit that there was something down the road that involved the both of us. And if I wanted to see that through, I had to listen and obey what Christ was trying to encourage me to do at that point. And so in the beginning it was hard, but you know, Christ knows what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit knows what he's talking about. So eventually my heart began to melt and soften, and I began to receive what he was doing. And, you know, that's when forgiveness came. That's when the pride, you know, began to fade away, and things just started changing for us both.
You know, I'm thinking about Romans 10 and 9. I quote it often on the show. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. That is the starting point. And if the two of you have that, if the two of you have him, he will make that threefold cord. But you have to do what both Shay and Antonio did here, which was, despite not feeling like it and despite pride and all those things, to allow the Lord's voice to be the voice that you obey. And when you do that, you can rest assured that things will get better.
Maybe I could be the one to brighten up your day, sweep the clouds away. For you, take a picture of the sun and hide it in your heart. For days that fall apart, just know that things will get better, just. Things will get better.
Scosche Films comes Old Fashioned. Reformed frat boy Clay Walsh has some lofty and outdated theories on love and romance. When he meets a free-spirited girl with a restless soul, they attempt the impossible in modern-day America. An old-fashioned courtship and a God-honoring relationship. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is Old Fashioned. Old Fashioned, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters Valentine's Day weekend, February 13. More information at oldfashionedmovie.com.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And we're back, and we were just listening to Things Will Get Better by Antonio Neal. And, you know, I think it's very interesting in there how you say it's all up to you. And a lot of times believers, Christians, get into this thing where God's supposed to do everything. And God has already provided his word. He's already provided his spirit. So in terms of making it work, it really comes down to the things that you were mentioning, which is, you know, going past your own pride, going past your own will, and stepping out on faith to do the things that the Spirit of God is asking you and showing you to do. The two of you are now sharing music and ministry and going and speaking with people, and you're finding something very interesting within the divorce community, and I just wanted to share, wanted you to share your findings with us.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just finding that there are people that are hurting out here. There are people that need to be healed. I mean, the biggest thing from my wife and I, what Shay and I are finding, that there's just a group of people who, number one, feel like they're kind of pushed to the side, or almost like they're lepers or something in the church and community and society. And so we believe that there's a great healing that's supposed to take place with these people that are going through stuff, and stuff has been suppressed, and people are just trying to figure out, you know, how do I bounce back, and, you know, what's next after this great death of my life and stuff like that. And so Shay and I are just seeing such a need, and we have so much empathy and compassion for people who've been through divorce, because that could have been us, but most of all because Christ loved them. And so now we're trying to, in turn, just go out and just provide, you know, avenue, and not forget about people who've been divorced. Because sometimes when you get caught up in quote unquote marriage ministry, you're only dealing with people who've been through, who are currently married, but we oftentimes forget about some of the most precious people who are right there, you know, in the body of Christ. So, and that's a lot of times is the people who've gone through divorce.
Yeah, I remember in my psychology class, they were listing the highest stressors that affect human beings. And I was really surprised to see that divorce was a higher stressor on the human body than a death of a loved one. You mentioned something interesting about that when we were talking, and you're saying basically that people who are divorced don't really get an opportunity to mourn.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Shay and I have just watched the people that we know, because sometimes in the body, we just, you know, we people that are supposed to be all perfect and just get it together and just, okay, went through, okay, now put on a happy face, and, you know, and so it's like, what is going on? I mean, like, this person just went through the worst thing that could happen to a human being, to me, on the face of the earth, and immediately they supposed to be back up, put on their red dress and lipstick, back on the dating scene, got their stuff together, walking around. I mean, they don't have any period to say, you know what, I'm hurting. I'm not going to hide it from you. I don't care if I'm a praise and worship leader. I don't care if I'm an elder. I don't care whatever my title is. I need people to know that I'm hurting, because that's when the community is supposed to come in and be a balm and be a blessing. You know, we gather for people when they die physically, but we don't gather a lot of times, you know, when people go through the spiritual death of divorce. You know, where's the people bringing the food over and loving on folks and all that? And so the same type of care needs to happen, not just somebody taking sides, but for both people. That needs to happen, because a lot of times somebody leaves the church, if they're part of a local body, somebody gets the boot or decides to leave, and so one person gets a chance to get some healing or whatever, or at least people still accepting them, but the other person is gone. And so we got to do better. We got to do better.
Shay, you want to say something?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I was just going to say that it seems like they're pushing a corner. It's either people are looking at them, you know, like they pity them, or they're either looking at them like they're cruel, and they have no way to get away from either one of those. So it's like they, like he said, they put on that happy face because they don't want pity, they want understanding, and they don't want to seem like they're cruel because they gave up on a relationship or were forced to get out of a relationship. They actually want to be in a relationship, but other people don't see that. They just hear the word divorce, and it seems like, oh, they murdered their relationship. You know, they're this and they're that, and we're finding out that, you know, it's hurting them, and so it's causing them to just shut down and just get to themselves inwardly.
So I'm wondering, as people are listening to the two of you, why do you think they're responding the way that they are in terms of being vulnerable and transparent with you?
They're feeling like we're understanding, since we were so close to divorce ourselves, and we just have more compassion with this situation. It's like they feel that they can let their hair down and we won't judge them, that they can be vulnerable and they won't regret it.
And I think also, yeah, and I think also on top of that, I think that, you know, my wife and I, we're transparent, you know. There's times when we're really transparent even more, so there's situations depending on where we are. We don't walk around like we got it all together. And that's the thing that I have to, like, when I do interviews and we sit down and talk to people, it takes us 20 minutes to get people to realize that we're not those people who just going to put on a happy face just to get another gig to go to your church and do a marriage thing and, oh, look at the happy couple. No, we're the couple that's saying, this junk takes work, and we got into an argument last week, and, you know, we're still working on this thing every day, and that's Antonio and Shay. And when people hear that, they're like, okay, so I don't have to be this certain clown in front of you. I don't have to put on the clown suit. No, you don't. No, I'm not going to put the clown suit on. I'm not going to put it on for your pastor, for your church, or to get another engagement. I'm going to be honest. And if us being honest and transparent helps a couple heal or a person heal, then so be it. That's more than getting a new gig or walking around being this little happy-go-lucky couple. No, we want to be a couple that says, Jesus Christ, in the middle of your stuff, is still on the throne, he's still alive, and if we apply his principles and walk this stuff out day by day, it produces good results. But it takes two people who are committed to work. And so, you know, hey, that's us.
Well, I'm thankful to hear this. I want to get a sense of what I would experience if I was able to come and see you, because you have two projects out now. You have Welcome Home and Live, Laugh, Love. I was going to turn it around. So talk about the two projects and how do you incorporate it? What would it look like if I was able to come see you?
I mean, it's mainly what you're hearing right now. I mean, it's about Christ. Christ and my wife. I need to do a record called Christ and My Wife. Meet my Christ and my wife. but it's about our life. I talk about our life. I talk about what we go through. I talk about the Father. I sing songs based on my walk with him. I don't sing songs because somebody says I'm a gospel artist. I don't look at myself as a gospel artist. I'm a minister of the gospel, and I just happen to do music that reflects the kingdom and what Christ promotes. So I promote what Christ promotes, and sometimes what Christ promotes isn't, quote-unquote, gospel music. So I do music that I feel like if Jesus Christ owned a radio station, what would he play? And so I want my music to be something that he would consider playing on his radio station. And so coming to an event with us, it's me talking. We do something called music and conversation, and I do music, but I also talk about my life. Times Shay gets up there with me sometimes, and we talk about things we've endured, or we give words of encouragement, or we talk about stuff, and just a real chill hangout time, and just really like for grown people to come out and just enjoy themselves with some cool music. And mostly we hope to touch your soul before the end of the night. I want people to know that there is music and art out here that I feel like will touch people if they only knew about myself and other people. But bigger than the music is our life and what we hope to transfer to people that are in our presence. And we hope to learn from other people. I'm always trying to learn from different people and meet folks who are going through stuff and develop bridges so that if you're going through something, you feel like, you know what, I can reach out to Antonio and Shay via email or Facebook or something, and we can keep this relationship going. So our whole thing is about community, building a community everywhere we go.
Amen to that. Shay, do you have any parting words that you'd like to share with a couple who could be listening now and they just feel like they're on the verge of giving up?
Well, I would just say that I know that pain screams louder than healing, but if you take what we were saying earlier about these scriptures, about when it says think on these things, when it says love is patient and love is kind, when you find those scriptures and you actually apply them to the situation, you get your mind off of those things that you can't change because they've already happened. Healing will be able to come through. Forgiveness will be able to come through once you move those things out of the way.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, Antonio, I encourage you to do that CD that you're just talking about, because the movie trailer that I just played, Old Fashioned, is coming out next week. It is a faith-based movie about courtship, but it's going to come out the same weekend as Shades of Grey, which has a completely different message to it.
Right.
So if you came out with that album, it could be opposed to, I know Toni Braxton and Babyface did one that was, I think it was Love, Relationships, and Divorce. So you can have your counterpart, you know, my wife, me, and the Holy Spirit. You know, that would work really well.
I'll keep that in mind.
I think one of the takeaways we can definitely have here is when, you know, we all want to put the key to our door and feel welcome when we come home. We want to be able to know that there isn't going to be tension and stress and strife on the other side of the door. Scripture is very clear that a man would rather be living on top of a roof than living in a house where there's contention and strife. We want to have that peace. But what you guys are saying is that you have to work for it, and you have to pray for it, and you have to wait. The waiting is often the hardest part, but it took time. Here you guys are today, raising your family and moving forward for the Lord. Thank you so much for sharing that with us tonight.
Thank you.
You are
glad
so
to be
welcome.
Here.
Next week, we are actually going to have with us the lead actor from Old Fashioned, sharing a little bit about how he's like the main character, Clay, and his frat days and when he committed himself to the Lord and was able to start to look at relationships the way that it should be. But until then, I want to encourage you to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it. And for those of you who are in relationships right now, whether it's relationships that are marital, like we were discussing tonight, or even with your children as they get older, sometimes there are difficulties. You want to have peace in your home. So listen to this and be encouraged.
Riding on a